Hello and welcome, everyone. My name is Pranila Lilarose, and I am the host of this six-week class that we're starting called The Global Impact of Self-Love. And it's great to be here with you, and I'm so looking forward to these upcoming 6 weeks together. You'll have a chance to experience inside of yourself what true love is and what it can do for you and what it can do to you and what it can do through you. It's a very powerful energy, and when you start tapping into it, then it will actually impact the world around you. So I want to thank you all for taking the time out of your schedule today. And if you're not here live today, then if you listen to it later on the replay, I'm really glad that you're willing to become the solution in the world instead of being part of the problem. So what I want to start out with today is just talk a little bit about what the course is about and how I've structured it. Well, obviously, what it's about is how to learn to truly love yourself and how that impacts your life. We'll spend a lot of time learning body language, and we'll start with the very basics of that. And that goes like, what does a yes really feel like in your body? And what does a no feel like? It's something where we're going to learn how the body speaks to us. And a lot of it is through just a sense of yes or no. But we need to really attune to that. And we want to start finding out, how do you suppress that? Or how do you ignore that? Or hopefully, how do you listen to these cues of that language, of that body language? How do you know when your body says yes or no or stay or go? You know, it's like, what tells you that? So we want to really spend time on refining that language. And the way I see it also is that is how you either love yourself or not. And I know it sounds simple, doesn't it? Once you learn the language, like with any other language, it is that simple. But it takes practice. It's just like learning another language. You need to practice it, and eventually it gets easier, and you get fluent in it, and you don't really think about it anymore. It's just there. And that's kind of how it is with the body language, too. And what I've noticed is, certainly in myself and in so many other people, is that self-doubt happens when you don't trust your own body language. And sadly enough, it seems that most of us don't even know there is such a thing as a body language. For so long, we've just ignored it out of habit. And we go to our mind instead for the answers, or if we need to make decisions or something like that, we go to the mind or we go to others. And this has been going on for a very long time. And because of that, it seems to be the norm to ignore your own wisdom. And it seems just almost like everybody just does that, and we doubt our own wisdom, and instead we believe others instead. And I see this all the time, both in my practice and in my life, and recently I saw it clearly again when somebody that I'm working with, how absolutely opposite it is to trust your heart and to trust your body language, to trust your inner knowing and your wisdom. It seems like completely opposite. So the question is, how do you trust what you actually already know before the mind kicks in? That's the trick. I think we can expect the mind is going to kick in because that is the energy and the frequency that we've been living in for so long. So we need to start recognizing when that happens and how it happens and how we interact with that. For this particular person, it felt like stepping into a different dimension. And it felt so radically opposite of what the mind says or thinks or believes or wants to convince you of, that it was like, huh? You know, can I trust that? But, you know, and then the mind just kicked in and said, no, that's nonsense, and it's not important, and what do you think, and all that stuff that happens in all of us until it doesn't, of course. And the mind thinks it knows about the heart. It thinks it knows about your feelings. But there are two different languages. There's mind language, and then there's body or heart language, and I like to call it heartish. Heartish, just like Spanish or Danish or English. And it really, really is a language, but it's just different than what we're used to. So it's a matter of taking the time to learn that, and that's definitely what we'll be doing in this course. And, you know, to be honest with you, I've been doing plenty of that myself in this lifetime, and that's why I want to share with you that there's another possibility. I was doubting everything about myself, my feelings, my experiences. I would undermine them. I would not believe them. I would believe others. And as funny as this sounds, I do remember at a time when I would ask people, this is many, many years ago when I still lived in Denmark, I would ask other people, I would say, well, what do you think I'm feeling? Like, what? What do you think that I am feeling? They're like four different things. So nobody else will know what you are feeling. I mean, you need to find out. You need to know what you're feeling. That's the whole point. And then learn to trust that and start really moving with that inner knowing. So when I said that this is many years ago, but I just remember it so clearly because it just like, how could that happen? And compared to who I am today, it's just unbelievable because heartish is my first language and it's what I trust before anything else. So obviously in this course, we'll take quite a few steps and time to learn how to listen to what your body tells you. And we want to learn how to trust that, because even though we probably know what it tells us, we don't know how to trust it. And when we finally start trusting it, then we can start acting on it. And I would like to suggest that we get some small little homework exercises that I want to share with you to practice these skills in between the weeks of these classes. So you actually start listening and trusting and acting on it, even though you may not fully trust it yet, you'll start practicing it, because practice makes master. I'm sure you've heard that before, and that's the only way you will learn a new language, is by practicing it. So that will help you trust it. The more you practice in between the weeks that we meet here, the more you will trust it, and then it's easier to act on it, even though you might feel a little wobbly. That's fine. And it's actually not just your homework in between the weeks. It will be your homework forever on, because it's just a language that you'll start feel more and more comfortable in until there's no separation between you and it. So you don't need to even wonder if you can trust it. It's just too obvious. You know, you cannot not trust it anymore. So first, when you feel what you feel, and then you trust what you feel, and when you do that, you won't doubt yourself. So you feel what you feel, you start trusting what you feel, and then you start feeling something in your body where you won't where you won't doubt yourself anymore. And you'll get more bold in acting on it or speaking it. And it feels really good, because there's a sense of empowerment in there that you won't find anywhere else. And that's not to say that there may not be doubt. That's going to be there until it's not. But it will start dissolving more and more as you get to know your body better. And that's also when it gets more fun and alive. And that's when you'll get out of hiding. And I also remember, you know, I was hiding a lot, and because I was hiding behind my self-doubt, and it's there's a deadness to it. There's a lack of aliveness to the life that we came here to live, because we're separating ourselves inside. So that was a little bit about the body and its language. So we'll definitely spend time on that. We'll also be using mindfulness, and that's a wonderful tool to become aware of what is going on now. Where's your heart now when you listen? It's coming back to this very moment and be present with what is. And if you want to do it right now, just as a little check-in, why don't you just check in with yourself and just feel yourself right now. Feel what's going on with you. There's no right or wrong in it. It's just a dipping in. And just notice, what are you feeling right now? Who are you right now? And you might notice how you find that in yourself. Where do you go to feel yourself right now? If you're not fully used to knowing your body, you might go to your mind and think about how you feel. That's what I did, and I asked others about the same thing. So if that is what your experience, then that's it, right? That is where your mindfulness will bring you to the now moment, and you might notice, oh, I'm actually not really feeling anything right now. I'm just thinking. And that's the now moment, and that's perfect. So we want to always come back to the now moment and just experience what is going on here now. And that's something you can do also through your day, pause once in a while, and then through mindfulness, you'll just see where you are now. And eventually you'll see what is getting in your way to become the being that you know lives inside of you and that you want to be. That's where that longing in all of us lies. Like, we know there's something bigger in us that wants to take birth or that wants to embody itself. So we want to just feel who we are now, where we are now, and then what's getting in the way. And then, and these are all the things we'll be working with during these 6 weeks. Who do you know yourself to be inside? If you didn't just focus on the doubts and the fears and the dislike of yourself, right? Then, so who do you know yourself to be inside, underneath all that stuff, all that doubt? And that's where I would say that's where your greater future self lives. This greater being, there's the one that is living in your heart. And I shared some in the call last week. I called it the imprisoned splendor. His name was Robert Browning. He was from the 1800th century. And we're going to come back to that term during these 6 weeks, the imprisoned splendor, because that is the one that's knocking at your door on the inside and then wants out. But it feels like, you know, it's like that splendor, that big being is stuck in the veil of all the beliefs that we have and all the trauma and the doubts and the fears. There seems to be this web around us, or maybe we can call it the veil of illusion that we're still looking through, and it kind of gets stuck in there because we are focusing on the veil more so than on this imprisoned splendor. So in that poem, it says, you know, we want to open out a way for the imprisoned splendor to escape. And that is exactly what we'll be doing here. And we'll be using guided meditations. I'll be guiding you through some meditations to find, to get more in touch with this imprisoned splendor and to find the hidden gems that are in your subconscious mind. We'll certainly also go into the longing of your heart. That's a very, very important part of it, because it's like we have this personalized GPS inside of our heart, that will guide you home. And it will guide you home along a very fulfilling path. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be fulfilled and joyful. But we have to go in and listen. So that's, we can also say the GPS is the language of your heart, is the heartish, and that's what we're going to start learning to listen to and to speak. What I also would like to do is maybe at the end of the 6 weeks, we'll see how it all goes, but maybe some sharing. Once we get in touch with that imprisoned splendor, it's really nice to share that with others. And I don't know if you guys have read the little ebook that I sent to you as part of this class called Women Standing for Love. That's the one that describes how I saw it when I got that download, the importance of doing this together and sharing and supporting each other and caring for each other so that we feel more bold and comfortable in bringing out this imprisoned splendor. You know, when you come out, when it starts coming out, it can be scary because you suddenly stand out as very different. And that's why we keep holding it back. But if you are surrounded by other beings who support you in that, who celebrate you in that, then it's not so scary. It might still be scary, but you know that you will be welcomed. And I would like to see if we can use some of our time here to do that and really support each other. I was even thinking about maybe have some of you team up as a buddy, support buddy or something, so that you're not going through this all on your own. So if anything pops up in any of you in your heart as a new experience, right, where you see something bigger or better about yourself, right now I'm actually talking about you, because that's the one we try to hide, right? Then it's really powerful to feel supported and will help you feel more confident and you feel more convinced that this is actually true because you have a whole team around you saying, yay, you can do it. And it just feels really good. Honestly, I still really love it when I get confirmed in what I do. It just feels good because I still feel that I'm so out there compared to many, many people. There are circles where I feel very same, and it feels really, really good. So I go there to get my nourishment. I go and hang out with friends who understand me, who are on the same frequency or the same wavelength, because that supports me in keep going. Because it's not always easy when you feel all on your own, you feel different, and you start doubting yourself. So it's very, very important to have a support system around you. And you may already have that in your life. I hope you do. But just stay open to the possibility that you do not need to do this on your own, that there is support. There are many, many people like you and me. And I think there is something beautiful about starting to find each other so we're much, much stronger when we do this together. That's basically the bottom line. And the old paradigm values of competing and comparing and jealousy, they only create duality and isolation. And that's exactly what we don't want, right? So we don't want to do that with each other. We want to do the opposite. Because the old values, they prevent us from making progress into this new world that we want to create by being ourselves. I just shared yesterday with in my women's group here. It's like, if you want to change the world, I said, the only way you can change the world is by being yourself. And that's work. We need to go in and dig and dig out all that stuff we had piled up on top of this imprisoned splendor to find out, well, who am I then? So it's good to take time to find out, and it's good to be surrounded by other beings who feel the same and who want to support you and also need your support. And in the new paradigm or the new world that we're creating, there really is no space for competing, comparing, putting down. It doesn't work. Well, let's be honest here, it didn't work, right? We tried it and it didn't work. So we can start leaving that behind. And the splits of duality that we've lived in, inside and out, that can be bridged by self-love and by cooperation, by support and care. That is the bridge to close the gap that lives inside of us. And I also know from my own experience that sharing our gifts and our love and our power and be really seen in our splendor, it can be a little scary in the beginning. It's like, ooh, but that's why we've been hiding, because it's been scary, right? And that's the barrier we are still hiding behind, and we want to dismantle that barrier and then create a bridge of self-love. And confidence will arise when you know your body language enough and learn to trust it and follow it, and then have a support group around you who celebrates you in that and who cokes you out and said, yes, yes, it's good, come, keep coming. So I always say it helps to have support in the beginning and in the middle and in the end. Because we are doing this together, and you are not alone anymore. And I feel really relieved that I'm not alone anymore, that I have so many other people now who are on the same page. And the more I share it with others, I always see these nodding heads like, yeah. So, because I know that you know this is true. It's just that we don't speak it so bluntly out in the world yet. But I think the more of us start living it, it's going to be part of the new language that is spoken out there. So there's also going to be a theme in these classes of a guided meditation where we really want to start feeling the longing in our heart, in your heart. You want to feel the longing in your heart of the world that lives inside of you, that wants to manifest itself in this dimension. So it's both the real you, the imprisoned splendor, how does that want to come out, and then what kind of a world does it want to live in? And we will revisit that theme quite a bit to help you create like the new neural pathways in your brain. It's repetition and practice and repetition and practice. That's how you make new pathways. That's how you become the solution. And that's how you eventually leave behind the old default mode of the old paradigm, you know, of fear and separation. So it's the repetition, and it's working on it in between the weeks that we meet here. That is where real change happens. I also say it, you know, to my students or my clients, you know, that in between the weeks where I teach meditation or in between the weeks where we see each other one-on-one, it's the work that's done in between. That's where the change will happen. It's like we're going to open doors here, and I'm going to invite you in and through, and you'll walk through. But you're the one who has to keep walking through on a consistent basis, because the only way real change can take place inside of you is through repetition and practice, and really make it a priority in your life. So it always depends on how much do I really want this change? How much do I want to learn to love myself? How much do I want to create a life where I am at peace with myself? How important is that to you? And that's something that only you can decide inside of you. You'll find out during the 6 weeks, you will find out how important it is. Will you set time aside to do some practices? Or are you going to be swept up in your busy life, which is what happens for most people? I see that so all the time in my meditation class too. The students, you know, it's at UCSC, they start out really gung-ho, and then as we progress, they get too busy because there's the finals and there's the midterms, and they get too busy and they don't come back, or they come back once in a while. And they miss out on the opportunity, but busyness is a very, very common reason why why you don't, I'm not saying you personally, but why most people don't really make changes, because they're not fully committed in the way they maybe want to, but there's something that is more important. And a lot of times it's actually survival issues, you know. I need to make money, I need to take care of this and that, but there's a lot more to it. It's not really survival. There's something about familiarity and comfort, and there's many, many, many things that are going on. So what I want to do now is just jump in with a little meditation before we're going to talk about what this thing called self-love really is and what isn't self-love. But I want to just help you get in touch with that part of you that signed up for this class and who apparently is drawn to making a change in yourself. And the more you can connect with that part, and I don't say this lightly, this is so important. The more you can connect with the part that wants to make a change, that is your fuel. If you connect with that feeling that you want this on a daily basis, then you keep your gas tank full, and that means you will make it through all the way. It's the feeling that you want this. It's your commitment that comes inside of you as a felt sense. It's something you feel in your body, and it's a feeling of, yes, I really, really want this. And, you know, that's the difference between a commitment that we make like, oh, yeah, that's a nice idea, I would like that, or a commitment we make that's like it goes so deep that nothing is going to stop you. And we want to see how deep you feel that you want to make this change, because that is the only thing that will decide whether you're going to be successful or not. It's the depth of your commitment, and it's a felt sense in your body. So we're going to just see if we can dip into that right now for you to really connect with your fuel tank, your fuel tank that will move you through. Because here's the thing, when we make commitments for change, what we're going to run up against is the reasons that we haven't done it yet. It's all the reasons, the excuses, the fears, the doubts, the not really wanting it enough. You know, all these things are going to come right at you. And those are the ones, that's why you need a full fuel tank to move through these things. It's like I heard this one teacher that I've spent some time with in the past, a wonderful teacher, he talks like, it's like when you start moving through the river, you can't turn around when the first wave or something comes at you, you know. You have to keep moving till you get to the other side. If you enter a boat with just, you know, a few drops of gasoline, you're not going to make it to the other side. So today we want to help you get in touch with your fuel tank and show you how to fill it up and how to keep it full. So let's just do a little dip in here and find out where you are, how you are experiencing that right now. So why don't you take a moment, hope you're not driving or multitasking. If you are, you might want to do it afterwards on the replay. But just take a moment and stop what you're doing. If you're doing anything, you can do it later. And take a nice, deep breath. Kind, gentle, deep breath, where I want to ask you to follow your in-breath all the way down into your chest, your upper belly, your lower belly. So you actually use your breath as an entryway into your body. And that's where we want to be. So on your next in-breath, just as you follow it down, this will both take you out of your mind and out of the busyness in the world. It will take you into your body because you follow it into your belly and you let yourself feel the expansion of the in-breath and really feel how your belly expands. So you're present with the sensations in your belly. And then, of course, on the out-breath, collapses. So just feel that for a moment, the in-breath and the out-breath. And just feel yourself. Feel your breathing. Feel your belly. Feel your being. And then want to ask you to just think about what inspired you to join this class, this 6-week class. And just take your time. What was it that got sparked when you heard about it, read about it? What was it in you that says, I want to do that? Just let it unfold. Maybe it's just a small thing. Maybe it's a big thing. Maybe there's a hope that things can change. Maybe your imprisoned splendor said, yes, that's it. So whatever it is, just feel that and feel, what are you hoping to get out of this? What parts in you light up by being here? Just really feel it to the best of your ability. You don't need to be perfect at it because we're going to learn more on how to do that. But just feel whatever got sparked in you. And you might notice that there is something in you that's knocking on the inside but doesn't know how to get out. Or you feel an aliveness in there that feels suppressed. Or maybe you've been really hard on yourself and you're hoping that you can learn to be more loving towards yourself and maybe create a whole new environment, an atmosphere around you by just feeling more comfortable in being you. Maybe you know that there's something you would like to bring or to share, to express. So whatever it is, and it's going to be different for everyone, it's unique to you. What is it for you? See if you can just feel that. And I want you to notice where in your body are you feeling that. Is it an energy in your chest that starts, you know, vibrating a little faster? Or is there a part in your belly that starts to relax? Or is there a sense of expansion, excitement? Or maybe there's also some fear, like, well, what if? Right? We want to make space for all of it, but we really want to pay attention to the part that wants to have a new experience in life and is hoping that this class can be part of that. make that happen. So feel inside of you, what is it that you're longing for? How strongly do you want that? How important is that for you? You know, if you could say on a scale from 1 to 10, how important is it for you? Is it important enough that you would set time aside every day to practice this, to give it time, to learn a new language, to learn how to listen to yourself? Is it important enough to maybe stop doing certain things that may not be as important but have just become part of the habitual daily living, part of the busyness? Would it be worth letting go of maybe Facebook or, you know, things, you know, surfing the internet or doing research that maybe is interesting but may not be serving what you really, really want? So I really want to give you the opportunity right now to feel inside of you what it is that you're hoping to get out of this class and how important that is for you. This is your fuel tank. You know, the what it is that you want is your fuel tank. And how important it is for you is the amount of fuel you put in that tank to make it all the way to the other side of the river. And I want to do my best to support you in keeping your tank full, because I want you to get to the other side. I want all of us to get to the other side, because on the other side, that's the new world we all long for. But we have to go through this maybe ripply or, you know, heavy-duty water to get there, where it can be a little scary or it can be a little rough. And we don't want to turn back. We don't want to just go halfway because our tank wasn't full enough. So when the first ripple comes, we go, oh, I'm out of here. I want you to really feel that you want this more than anything, because that will get you there. It will. It will get you there. And then when you do it together with other like-hearted souls, you might find yourself in the middle of the river, you know, in a thunderstorm, and you go, oh, my God, I want to go back. And then your friend is there. Hi, no, keep going. I'm here, too. You're not alone. And then you keep going. Then you keep going. Oh, I got a lot of goosebumps when I said that. That's usually when truth comes strongly through me. So you are not alone. We are here to do it together. And we need to keep being reminded of that, because we're so used to thinking we are all on our own and we have to do it our own. So just feel again, feel how much you want this. How important is this for you? And feel where in your body do you feel that deep longing to make it to the other side? And where do you feel the power that you can move through the obstacles that are going to stand in your way, that have been standing in your way your whole life? It's not like they're new, but now we're going to face them. And we're going to face them with all the things that you're going to learn in this program. So you'll have the tools, you'll have support, and you need to keep your tank full. And the way you keep it full is feeling this feeling of like, I want this more than anything, and I'm going to do it no matter what. That's when you have a full tank that runs over, and you might even share some of that with your friends, you know, because you're just so gung-ho that it just spills over, and it's like, I'm just going to do it. And don't worry if you can't fully feel it yet. We're all different. But I want you at least to dip in to yourself and see how important this is for you. This is a very, very, very important part of every change, all the changes that we want to make. We have to have a full tank. So let's take a deep breath into this feeling, into your tank, and get to know this tank. And if it feels right for you right now, you can just let your inner tank know, your inner gas tank know that you'll be back and fill it up on a regular basis with the inspiration that you feel of the possibility of making it to the other side. Great. So let's take a nice deep breath. And we're just going to come back here to ordinary consciousness, whatever that means these days. And if you want to, I want to just, you know, take a moment here, and if you have some paper and pen in front of you, just write down what you found here. How does it feel? How much do you want it? You know, if it's on a scale from 1 to 10, what is your number? Just write it down. And this is not to make yourself right or wrong or anything like that. If you only have a 4 or 7 or whatever, it's like, oh, wow. You just notice, like, I thought I really wanted it, but I kind of want it, but I don't know how much I want it yet. And that's fine. That's totally fine, because we want to make it all conscious, right? That's the whole mindfulness thing. We want to bring it up to the surface, so we can see what it is that's going on inside of us, and why is it that we keep failing when we make new decisions or new commitments? Why do our New Year's resolutions always fail? Well, maybe it's because the commitment is not deep enough. Maybe the tank is only quarter full. So then we can start working on, well, what is it going to take for me to fill up this tank even more? How can I bring more inspiration? How can I allow myself to really long for that and give myself permission to make it to the other side and not make these other things in my life so important? So those are all the things we're going to look at, right? And today is just like we're going to just see what is actually here that might be getting in your way from even starting or from not making it to the other side. So this is really good no matter what number you found, no matter what issues, what fears, or what excitement. This is all part of just being with whatever is here and making space for it all. And then eventually we'll start listening to maybe if there's a part that's not so sure, you know, we want to get to know that part. You want to find out, well, sweetheart, what is it? You say you want to get there, but there's something stopping you. Let's find out. Is it fear? Is it, you know, concern what other people will say? And these are the ways that come crashing against us when we start moving to the other side, to the other shore. And we want to know what they are so we can dismantle them with self-love and presence. So it's all good. No matter what shows up for you, it's all good. It's just information. And that's really what we want to make conscious. All this unconscious information that runs our life, we want to make it conscious. Great. So if you need more time after this call, you know, just write some things down about that. It will be very helpful. So now I want to just take a look at what is this self-love. We really need to know what it is, what is self-love, and what isn't self-love. And again, here, if you want to join me, I wrote a few things down and I want to read to you about what I see as self-love, and the list is really endless. But you can also see if there's some things that stand out for you that you know are loving to yourself, things that you can do for yourself or treat yourself that you already know. So we want to make them all more conscious. And so let's first look at what is self-love. I want to say, just on a very basic level, it's feeding your body healthy meals, get enough rest, get enough sleep, get enough exercise. Definitely treat yourself with kindness and respect. Honor what is natural to you. If you have my book, Imagine Being Kind to Yourself, I have a chapter in there. It's called Naturally So, and it's all about finding out what is natural to you. So that would mean it's listening to your natural needs. What is your natural pace? How do you flow naturally in your life? What is natural for you regarding spending time with yourself? You know, are you always putting yourself last so you never really get the time with yourself that is important to you? Do you need silence time but busyness of life takes over? So what are your natural needs? That's very self-loving to pay attention to how you function naturally. Another thing is listen to your deeper truths and your deeper wisdom. Listen to what you already know, your values, your vision, and then just do your best to follow them, not just, you know, suppress them or ignore them. That's not so loving, is it? But listen to them. What is it that starts that's moving in you? And how about this one? Just doing your best. Just doing your best. Not forcing yourself to be more than you already are now. Not forcing yourself to be better or stronger or anything other, but just doing your best with what you have right now. So taking time to get to know your naturalness and not pushing through them, but slowing down so you get in touch with your natural pace and not try to push through them by being faster or trying to match up with what other people do, but be loving enough to yourself and say, you know, no, I actually, this is my natural pace because here I feel at peace and feels good. That's loving to yourself. And here's one that I think is very, very important, and it is finding your deeper dharma or your deeper calling, maybe your deepest aspiration. And this is new for us. This is something that's coming up for a lot of people, that we're looking for purpose in our life. There's something like life doesn't really fulfill us in the way it used to do. So in a way, this is really what it all boils down to. And in a way, it's more important than any of the above, but at the same time, it's not separate from them. Because if we don't take care of the outer layers first, like our body, you know, exercising and eating healthy and taking care of ourselves and not pushing ourselves, if we don't take care of that first, we can't reach the deeper dharma in a conscious and willing and inspired way, because we'll be dragging, our body will be dragging, and we keep needing to tend to our body, and then we don't have the energy that it takes to really listen to the deeper calling inside. And I know, I mean, a common excuse is that I'm too busy. You know, I'm too busy, even though you know you're too busy and you know what you need to do, but you're not doing it. I'm just too busy. And that's part of the old paradigm where we're just too busy and we're just too busy to check in with ourselves. We're too busy to make a good meal. It's like this energy of too busy. And we are all caught up in that. I know that very well. That's been one of my big challenges along my path, to not get too busy. It's so conditioned in the Western world. It's just unbelievable. So, but please know that your deeper dharma, or, you know, you can call it your deeper aspiration or your longing, your yearning or desire, that's where your divine purpose for being here is. That's where you will be divinely and humanly fulfilled. And this is where your peace and your fulfillment lies. It's in that feeling of your deeper calling and the deeper longing. It's going inside, following that feeling in through your heart and into the core of your being. That's where it is. So anyway, when you tap into your natural longing, which is the unfolding of your inner divine movement, then of course your body's needs are a natural part of that, right? That's why I say it's not separate from it. When you tap into that, it's not like you suddenly have to leave everything else behind. It becomes more and more one. And if we do tend to these outer layers, which we need to do, I mean, I can just share, you know, some years ago, I got really involved in more healthy eating. This is years ago, I gave up sugar and wheat and started to, you know, doing much more green food. And I was already very healthy, but I had a sugar addiction, which most people had. So I stopped it, and that's a whole different story how I did that. It actually was really cool what I discovered in myself in that process. But it was a process of just letting go and starting taking better care of myself. And it almost took over a little bit of, you know, my life, where it just became all about eating healthy and taking good care of myself and learning new ways to bake bread without wheat. And, you know, it was really fun, but it certainly took a lot of my time, and I didn't spend as much at that time, you know, feeling inside, you know, to follow this deeper dharma. And I even was thinking at some point that, you know, I want to start teaching how to make this food because it was so fun and it felt so good. But that was not really, that's not my deeper dharma. My deeper dharma is what I'm doing now. This is where I feel my my fulfillment, actually. Because when you step into your deeper dharma and do what you came here to do, there is a sense of fulfillment just in that, no matter what it looks like. So that's of course what we're looking at here, like when the imprisoned splendor, when we start letting it out, you know, we become a different being altogether inside. But oftentimes there is also a way that wants to express itself. But we need to have a healthy body. We need to probably have our finances at least stable, right? So it's not like we always have to scrape for money. We need to start looking at things in our life to make our circumstances more stable for this being to take birth. Sometimes it takes birth in a very messy way where we can't really do much about it, but there it's kind of preparing the way for this being to come out. And the more stable we feel in our body and in our life, as much as we can do, sometimes, you know, we can't. Life takes over in a way, and it just starts taking birth, and we can't do much about it. And I know that can be very challenging, but there's also times when we can do something, and that's when we want to really take good care of ourselves and treat ourselves and our body in a very loving way. So it's all good. Sometimes it doesn't look so good, maybe, but it really is all good. And it's something. There's a lot we need to take care of. Yeah, let's see. It's not really one or the other, right? It's both at the same time and as much energy as you have that you can take care of yourself. So I'm sure you can fill in a lot more on what it is what self-love is, and I could do too, but I don't want to use the time on that. I just want to go over another little thing, what it is not. You know, it's easy to say, well, it's not loving to, to treat yourself this way or treat yourself that way, but I don't want to talk about what self-love is not. I want to just address the misunderstanding about self-love. So what self-love is not, is it's not selfish. It's not narcissistic. It's not indulgence. That is such a misunderstanding. And I see it so often that there is a fear of being loving to yourself because you're afraid that other people or yourself may think that now you're selfish or narcissistic or indulging or whatever it is that we do. And it is so not true. That is about the opposite. But because it's so misunderstood, that's what we believe, and that often shies us away from taking good care of ourselves and listen to our needs and speak them and say no when we mean no and yes when we mean yes. And many times, it happened again yesterday in my women's group for the young Women Empowerment Circle, where we talked about this, because this is always the issue about, can I just be myself or am I going to be seen as whatever, selfish? And that is such a deep fear in us all. It's just unbelievable. I don't know if it's more in women than in men. I think it is, because I hear it a lot more in women, that's the fear. And then instead what we do is compromise and do what other people want, and every time we do that, we move away from our calling. We move away from what we came here for, because we create a split inside, and then there's the imprisoned splendor being left behind inside, and you're out there trying to fit into a world or, help others or be there for others, completely ignoring your own needs, and it's not loving to do that. There is a place for both. And I do know that there are plenty of people out there who are selfish and narcissistic and indulgent. I know that. I mean, we all know that. I mean, that's a no-brainer. Let's look at our government, right? But that is because they're out of touch with their deeper dharma. They're not in touch with the love in their heart. They live from a place of lack, from a place of separation, from a place of hating themselves. And the only way they think they can, get by is by being really, really selfish, but they don't even know that. So we don't need to compare ourselves with those people who are not in touch with their inner truth or their deeper dharma or their heart. That can certainly look selfish and narcissistic, and it is. And if these people would turn around and start loving themselves, like we're going to learn here, they would not need to do that anymore. So it's actually, if I may be so bold, it's the lack of self-love that creates selfish, narcissistic people. So that's a little returning that upside down, and I want to just make sure that I address that, because I know that's going to come up. I see it all the time, the absolute fear of being kind and loving to yourself, take care of yourself, listen to yourself, speak your truth. It's like, oh, my God, what are people going to say about me? What are they going to think about me? And some probably will, but that's okay. That's okay. There's plenty who won't. I'll support you through it, that's for sure. So it's not selfish to love yourself. Actually, I wrote an article. It's about the difference between self-love with a small s and self-love with a capital S. And you know what? I will send that to you. When I send the replay link to you, I will send the link to that article because I think it's going to be helpful. And I also have another article about what happens when you're not loving yourself. I'll send those two articles to you also. You can use those as support during this time. So let's see. I think inside of us, there lives something much greater. And, well, I don't think it. I know that. And that's the one we want to bring out. That is the one you're going to love. You know, we still want to be self-loving to all, you know, our human needs, too. Again, we're not making a split between who we are. We want to tend to all of it. But it's specifically that being inside of us that is wants to take birth through you and me, that's the one we really want to love. And that takes a lot of courage because that is when we go against all the norms in the world. By bringing in a whole new way of being, we are going to run up against a lot of resistance or questioning or judgment. And it can be a little challenging, but so what? But when, you know, the good thing is that when you start feeling the effects of true self-love for yourself, that's when you also feel that there's nothing selfish about it because you'll feel the impact. You'll notice what happens. So instead of standing there behind the wall saying, you know, no, it's selfish, I don't want to do that, I'd say jump in and try it, see what happens. And then you'll have your own experience of it so you can share it with others and say, no, it's actually not. When I'm taking good care of myself, I'm not selfish because then I can take care of you too if that's what's needed. Or I can say, it's not right for me to help you right now because there's something you need to learn yourself. I'll support you, but I'm not going to take care of you in that way that I would in the past. So it's very empowering and it's very, very loving for everyone, really. So, so I'll send those links to you, and I think it will be great for you to have that as a support also. What I want to just do now is just have you take a look at yourself in your life, where you are. Yeah, we're going to shift a little bit now. I just want to help have you go inside. So let's just take a pause. Let's just take a nice breath right now. Just slowly shifting into a little more internal inquiry. And all the things, you know, you may recognize a lot of the things that I've shared here. And there might have been some feelings come up for you. You might have some memories or some visions about it all. So what we want to look at right now is just get curious. Again, we're just looking for information in a way. We're just becoming mindful of what is going on in your life without putting any judgment or criticism or labels or anything like that. We're just going to find out where in your life there might be something blocking you from living the life that you long for, that made you sign up for this course. So let's look at where in your life do you notice that you are unhappy or feel empty or lonely, maybe out of alignment with the divine, purposeless, scared, maybe you're not sure why you're here. Just take a look at that. Just from a curious, innocent place where you want to just learn about yourself and find out something, And whatever it is, there's something in your life that's not blossoming the way you want it to. And this is not a bad thing. Many, many people are going through that. They feel unfulfilled. They feel out of touch. They don't really feel they belong anymore. And I remember the term called divine discontent. That's a very common word that used to be used, at least. I think it's still out there in spirituality. It's like you come to a place in your life where nothing really fulfills you anymore. There's nothing really that grabs you like it used to do. And you start feeling empty and purposeless, and you might try this and that and trying to fill up the emptiness with different things, but it doesn't really work. And here we have to remember that the times are changing, and they're changing quite rapidly. And the ways that we used to find fulfillment in life, they're not current anymore, at least not for us. For a lot of people, maybe, or they may try, but not for us. You probably know that the perfect job or the perfect partner or winning the lottery or whatever, or the lotto, that's not really going to fulfill you. I'm not saying that it's not great to have that. It would be great. By all means, I'll take it. But it's not going to give you that sense of fulfillment unless you're really living from that deeper place in you, unless you really allow that imprisoned splendor to come out. So it may just be that you have lost touch or have not connected yet with your inner purpose. And maybe there's so much chaos in your life right now that it's very hard to focus on that. So in that case, of course, we need to be present with what's going on in your life, which we'll do over the weeks. We need to learn to be present with that in a new way and not get pulled in or lost in it. And then instead, we want to start turning towards your heart and the longing and finding, you know, the alignment with the divine. I love this this sentence says, align with the divine, right? That's, we need to align with the divine. And until we do, we're not going to be fulfilled. So the purpose for you being here on the planet, it lies inside of you, underneath all the areas where you may have compromised your own truth. And that's, again, we will be looking at that deeply over the next weeks. And the lack of self-love is exactly how we compromise our own truths and our own wisdom and our own vision and our own longing. And we need to find a way to honor those instead. And even though it takes courage, it's not so easy, it's possible to turn that around, excuse me, little by little, by stopping compromising, by starting honoring. When you feel a no, you say no. And when you feel a yes, you say yes. By beginning to honor that moment by moment and coming more and more into yourself. So what I would like to do now, I have a poem here that I would like to read to you. And it's a poem that I wrote some years ago. And then after that, I want to just guide you into one more little meditation. And it kind of relates to this poem. The poem is called The Woman I Always Wanted to Be. And if there's any men on this call, you can just make it the man I always wanted to be and make it your own, which is what we're going to use this poem for, that we're going to start finding the woman or the man I always wanted to be. And a little hint, that's the imprisoned splendor that lives inside of you. So just sit down and enjoy while I read this and let yourself take it in and just see what touches you, where you relate to it, what inspires you. And then after that, I'm going to take you into a little meditation, okay? So, the woman I always wanted to be. I am maturing into the woman I always wanted to be. Loving, wise, unapologetic, and free. I have stopped focusing on the fear of rejection, and instead I'm choosing to rest in my divine state of perfection, where fear, holding back, and doubt is no longer what I choose to be about. I am unconditional love, a pure vessel for she, who has always lived so sweetly deep down inside of me. I know who I am and speak with confidence and care, emanating the vibration of a loving prayer. My presence is still and vast, liberating the remnants still stuck in the grip of the past. It takes courage to be what this world still denies and liberate myself from these deeply rooted lies of suppressing my natural divine state of love and embody the goddess who fits me like a glove. I thank her. She won't let me hold back anymore. She now manifests herself through my heart's open door. She's ready to take birth and come all the way out, beautifully, gracefully, without a shadow of a doubt. She opens my heart, ignites my soul. She tears down the walls and helps me feel whole. She has no mercy if I don't stay on track. The water is broken. There is no way back. I'm prepared and I'm ready to finally be free and live as the woman I always wanted to be. So now, I want to invite you to take one more little internal journey. Take a nice deep breath, allowing yourself to be transported down into your being and into your body, down into the imprisoned splendor who lives in your soul and in your being. And if anything touched you about this poem, you can allow that to be part of this meditation. So I want to invite you to connect inside with the longing in your heart of who you long to be. Who or what would you like to become? Just allow your imagination to flow, to expand. There's no limits here. Just allow that longing inside of you to feel how you would like to see yourself differently. You know, if you had a wand and could make a wish, who would you like to see yourself become? Just notice what could change, what would need to change for you to unfold or to mature into the man or the woman that lives in you. Would you be more brave, independent, self-assured, more loving to yourself, to others. Imagine, how would you walk in your life? How would you breathe? Feel the body of your imagined future self that lives in you and speaks to you through the longing. It's as if the longing of becoming something bigger or vaster, more loving, more courageous. The longing is the language that is letting you know about this imprisoned splendor that lives inside of you. So take a nice breath inside and feel that part of you. Use your breath to touch that part with kindness, with a curiosity, with an openness. Just imagine, what would self-love look like in your life right now? In what areas would you treat yourself differently? In what ways would you speak to yourself differently? When would you honor yourself where you haven't yet? Just notice how you would be different. What parts of you could you include in this transformation instead of denying or disowning them? How could they be part of this unfolding and taking birth as this imprisoned splendor? What would they need from you? Each and every element that is being disowned or denied or rejected is actually a part that you need for your full unfolding. When it transforms, it will become something that you will need in your future expression. It will still be you, but there will be more of you. You will be expanded and inclusive of all of you. And just imagine all these parts that are not taking part of this feast, of this birth, how they could become part of that in a whole new way. How do you see yourself differently if you allowed this birth to take place? And take a nice deep breath feeling, allowing, all of it. You can, with the next in-breath, you can prepare yourself to come back here more consciously on this call. But make sure that you bring a little more of yourself back, allowing the parts that have not been allowed. Make sure that you bring back maybe one or two of those, if not more, to see which part wants to come with you first. One that may have been denied or suppressed. How can you breathe a little loving life into that? To allow that also to partake in this new world that we are becoming. And then take another nice deep breath. Just let yourself come all the way back. And then we're coming close to the end of the call. I have a little suggested home play. Most people don't like the word homework, so we can call it home play. I want to invite you to use both this meditation and the one we did earlier about filling up your tank as your home play assignment, to spend time with that. Maybe write down what you found. Let yourself feel into this future self a little more. And then expand on it. Let yourself dream about it. Or write a poem about it if you're like me. Or make a collage. You know, maybe you like to work with clay or anything. It doesn't matter at all. All I want to invite you to do is spend some time to build a new neural pathway in your brain. And that happens simply by practicing new ways of being, by spending time on them. And, you know, if you noticed how self-love would look in your life right now, just notice if you can actually take a new action with that. What could you do differently in your life? So it's not just a meditation, but it becomes a real living thing that comes alive in your life. So do something to make it real in your life if you can. And I know it's very likely that resistances may show up. So if they do, all I want to ask you is to also notice them. If you find a place that's distracting yourself from doing it or ignoring it or is getting too busy, please write them down. Write them all down. This is the mindfulness practice of becoming aware of what has been hiding in the unconscious, preventing you from living the life that you came here to live. So let's take a nice deep breath, and I'm just going to make a little space for questions. So what I'm going to do now, guys, I'm just going to turn off the recording, and then I'm going to turn it back on for the questions. So and then I'll put it in Q&A mode. And so hold on a second. Okay, so if any of you has a question, all you need to do right now is press *6. That will unmute you. And then press the number 1. That will put you in the queue. So let's see if anybody has a question. Okay, it doesn't look like it. Okay then, my friends. It's been wonderful to be here with you. And make sure you do your homework, your home play. And if you have any questions, feel free to email me. And I will send out the replay for you soon, along with the links for those articles. Okay, I wish you all a wonderful, beautiful day with plenty of self-love. And I look forward to being with you again next week. Blessings and love. Bye-bye.